podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to your post-match Raw on Anfield Index Pro, podcasting to you from my field here in beautiful rural Ireland. I'm Trev Downey, and joining me to give their immediate reactions to Manchester United 2, Liverpool 2 in the Premier League from Anfield are Dave Hendrick and Carl Matchett. We've been saying for the last two or three of these, Dave, in a row that nothing matters except the result. Therefore, if that's the only thing that matters today, there's only one way to look at that, and that is as absolute dog shit. It's very, very difficult to be thinking about a scenario where this point may make a difference. It feels like sort of very lukewarm compensation in the wake of what was basically throwing a game away. They scored their first shot. We gave them every opportunity to get their tails up. We still should have absolutely buried them with the amount of opportunities we had. Another 30 odd shots. It's getting fucking silly, Dave.
Too sloppy, too arrogant, not urgent enough, just not acceptable at this point in the season. Like, this performance and the last two remind me of our performances at the start of the season, where, you know, we were winning games but not necessarily playing well. Today, that first half, we should have had them dead and buried. We have more than enough good opportunities to win that game in the first half. They have zero shots in the first half. They are parking the bus, inviting us on. We're doing whatever we want, creating plenty of chances, but just the sloppiness in the final ball or the finish was just shocking. And then we come out in the second half with an arrogance about us, as if we've won the game already. And it's an absolute shocker of a pass from Jarrell Kwanzaa. I've no idea why Quevin Kelleher is stood where he is. I've no idea why, when Kwanzaa releases that ball and he sees that there's a chance it's going to Bruno, he doesn't backpedal into his box from where he probably catches the ball rather than being scrambling about, because it's not hit with great height. It's quite a low trajectory.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not blaming Kelleher, but I do feel he could have reacted better to Kwanzaa's pass. But Kwanzaa, I mean, he's been so good. And it's important to emphasize he has been outstanding. And for the most part today, he was very good. He dealt really well with Hoyland. He dealt really well with Rashford when he had to deal with him. But that pass is an absolute shocker. But again, it feeds into the arrogance that was running through this team, where it felt they seemed to feel like they had the game won. You're 1-0 up. You've just been there a few weeks ago and thrown away a game. And now you've done it again. And that's three times we've played this team this season. And they're terrible. Like, let's be really honest about it. They are terrible. This is one of the worst Manchester United teams since the beginning of the Premier League. And yet we haven't managed to beat them in any of the games. In large part because we've been far too arrogant about how we've gone about the games. That home game, we have 38 shots to their 6. We can't score. The away game, we have 25 shots. Somehow we allow them to have more shots because we just start pricking about too much and let them eat us up on the counterattack. But today, I think we had 15 shots in the first half and they had none. We end the game with 28 shots, 7 on target. They had 9, all of which were in the second half, 5 on target. Like, to be fair to them, both of their goals are absolute worldies from their point of view.
Yeah.
Like, credit to Fernandes. It's a great goal from his point of view. the Maynard goal is excellent, but why was he not closed down? How's he been allowed that much space in our box? It's really, really frustrating. And I know they both scored, but Luis Diaz and Mo Salah were absolutely garbage today. Now, they weren't alone. Darwin wasn't good. Dom was really good off the ball, not so good on the ball. I thought Endo had a bit of a rough one as well at times, struggling just to get a real clamp on the midfield. Robertson's delivery, largely poor. Bradley's final decision-making, largely very poor. Just all in all, a group of lads that need to have a look at themselves and ask themselves, do they actually want to win this league title? Because we made it far harder against Brighton than it should have been. That game should have been out of sight by half time, even with them getting the early goal. The Sheffield United game was exactly the same, made it far harder than we needed to. And we've come undone today. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, well, that's advantage Arsenal. And in theory, yes, because now they're ahead of us with the same number of games played. But for me, it feels like advantage Man City, because now we can't afford another slip up or City will finish above us. And I think they're winning out because they're Man City and it's what they do.
And to be fair, you've been saying that from the start. It just does feel like today is a day. Yeah, they might have, cause to look at themselves and say, do we really want to win this league? But for the more pessimistic amongst our brethren and sistren, and there's a lot of them out there, Jesus Christ, Twitter is an absolute cesspool of darkness at the moment. They will be saying that the shot has been shot at this stage, despite the fact that there are seven games remaining. And Carl, to bring you in on this, where we find ourselves now is looking at the next seven fixtures and not being able to concentrate solely on Liverpool's games, because it will come down now to what happens elsewhere, specifically, obviously, with Arsenal. But it would be naive to expect that City won't be in the mix as well, as Dave says. So it's very frustrating to have thrown away an advantage that we had managed to get for ourselves with this amount of games remaining, especially again in the context of what we've just been saying, what we've been hearing from our pal there, especially against a team who do not merit the results they've gotten against us. They have been results which have been given to them on each and every occasion.
I mean, I just can't believe that we've played this shambles of a team twice in the last month or so and haven't won a game. It just beggars belief, honestly. The amount better than them that we were, even as Dave rightly says, we weren't at full capacity, we weren't at full power, we weren't at full concentration, all the rest of it. In that first half, we created enough chances, good chances, to win both matches, the FA Cup and this one. And it just is very, very infuriating, to be honest, to only get a draw against them again. We seem to have this discussion in the lead up to every single game we play against United, and quite often in the aftermath of it as well. It's just some irritating block that we have against playing this side and making the chances count and being absolutely diligently, purposefully sure that when you are in that position that your pass is the right one, that the weight is a good one, that the timing is perfect, that you are hyper aware of your options around you. I mean, there were some chances that probably didn't even get registered as a shot where we should have scored, because, you know, the final decision wasn't great in what to do with some of the counters that we had, 3, 4, 5 on two or three defenders at times. Losing the lead in the Premier League so quickly on the back of getting it is probably a frustration, which is as big as, you know, losing it overall. It's just so quickly after we got it. I do think Arsenal will still drop points along the way. And this was one of, what, probably three fixtures we would look at and say quite difficult. But with this one, it was only because of context rather than because of opponent. So if you've already sort of let points slip on this one, when the actual difficult teams, informed teams, do come and play against you, it's not hard to say that we'll still win those games, but it's certainly not as convincing as we should have been about it.
I'm curious just to pause for a second and tease something out with you here in terms of the clinical aspect or lack of clinical aspect. I've got a thing in front of me here now. It may or may not be 100% accurate. You know, these things tend to vary a little bit, but our XG on this is at 3.59, 28 total shots, and they have 7 big chances that they've registered here. And that to me is the statistic that I find the most painful, because we found ourselves in these situations again and again. And whatever about this sort of profligate finishing, the other situations where we found ourselves in on a regular basis were an opportunity to make a pass count. And it felt to me that, with the notable exception of McAllister, almost everyone was sort of flagrantly guilty of exactly that sort of sloppiness today. How do you tally that up with the urgency, with the, we do have muscle memory on that field of title winning, you know, how does that work? I mean, it seems almost atypical. Are we in danger? Like, I suppose this would be the big worry. This is where I'm going with this. Is there a danger that, you know, we've been riding the crest of this emotional wave on the back of Klopp's announcement? Is there a danger that it may just all be a bit much, or that maybe we've hit a wall? Or do you think this is just an unfortunate aberration and now we're back to really duking it out and seeing who's going to blink for the run-in?
Well, I don't think it's an unfortunate aberration, for sure. It's an aberration of our own making. So there's nothing unfortunate about it. You know, we've had loads of games this season where we've conceded a goal where we shouldn't. Whether you say it's because of the style of play, or because of how high up the defence is, or because, you know, we go 2-on-2 at the back sometimes, or whatever the reason is, it's still what we choose to do. And missing chances at the other end, honestly, sometimes it's a lack of concentration, I think. Sometimes it's players being rushed or out of confidence or whatever it is. It's still ours, because it's shared among such a big volume and such a big variety of players, let's say. Like, you look at today, right from the start of the game, Szoboszlai is a good save, but he probably should score, or make it maybe a little bit more difficult to save. I think it was a good strike and it was a good save, but for that chance, for that game, for that point, for how open that space is where he's in it, I think he should do a little bit more. And right at the end of the game, you got Diaz, and yeah, it's on the stretch and he's really running onto it at pace, but you're a few yards out. It's a really good chance. It's a really big chance, which in another game, you might only get one of those. Again, I think you've got to score that. And that's just at either end of the match. Like, there was loads in the middle as well. But when it happens to such a, like I say, quite a wide group of players, it's not just one player missing, you know, 20 chances or something like that. It is a collection. So I don't think it's misfortune in the slightest. I think it's a collective thing. I think it's an approach where either the mindset is slightly off, or I'm not going to say the technical ability is off, because, you know, the technical guys that we have in this team are probably better than everybody else on the planet by Man City. But definitely there is no, I don't think, fortune in that. When it happens so often, there is a thing where the players are not either quite locked in as much as they should be to absolutely make the right decision. Like, let's take the Nunez one, where he could have cut it back at the end of that brilliant counter-attack that we had. That's the kind of thing that I mean. Like, you have to be completely switched on there all the time. Nunez with the cutback, which would have gone to Szoboszlai for a tap-in, and Kwanzaa for a pass, which he makes probably 40 times a match. But in every single one of those instances, in a game like this, when you're going for a title, when there is no margin for error, you have to be dialed in to the maximum. And we've not been, not just today, but in quite a few other games. We're good enough and better enough than other teams to get away with that sometimes, but eventually it's going to cost you if you keep doing it.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, an Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit libertyshield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Do you think, Dave, that the selection played into what Carl's talking about in any way, shape or form in terms of the collection of youth experience and all the rest of it that was on the pitch? Was it a lineup you were content with? Anything to say about it before we move on to speak a little bit about United?
Just on the emotion thing, I wonder, is there too much emotion in this team now?
That's kind of where I was going.
Yeah, where they're actually trying too hard and they're snatching at chances rather than showing the composure that we know that they have because we've seen them all do it. Like they feel too much pressure to get this title for Jurgen because Jurgen's leaving. So maybe, because remember, we were top when he made the announcement. So it's not like, I don't think we did rise above because he made the announcement. But I do wonder if now it's starting to weigh on them a little bit, that kind of emotional thing, because it's 6 weeks till the end of the season, and maybe they're just that's what it is. But on us, I would have started Gomez personally, but Bradley did absolutely fine. Just I would have preferred to have started Gomez because I think he deserved to stay in the team because I think Joe's been excellent all year. My preference in the week was Curtis to start in midfield with Endo and Alexis and Dominic to start left wing. Now, Curtis might not have 90 minutes in his legs at the moment, and that is completely understandable. He's just back after a couple months out. But I felt like that would have given us a little bit more control to have Curtis in there and then to have Dominic pushed into the front three, where I think he'll do his best work in that final third. We've kind of turned him into like a roaming destroyer, which I think is hampering him on the ball. I think he's using so much energy off the ball because Endo and Alexis are not exactly the most dynamic of players. So he's having to do a lot of dog work. And I think it is kind of tiring him because he's not the player he was at the start of the season. I know he had the injury in that, but I just feel like maybe we're asking him to do too much off the ball and it's affecting what he can do on the ball. But other than that, I mean, I think we all thought Konate would start, but obviously plays the 90 minutes in the week, got the knock on the knee, so maybe not quite good to start. But yeah, I mean, look, the team was fine. That team was more than good enough to go there and win today. So as far as the team selection goes, I had no issue with it.
Carl, when you put it up against United, and you guys spoke about this in advance and were both very confident that, you know, because you were just assessing the relative quality of both teams, that it would be a comfortable Liverpool win. And I think that's how the majority of us felt, not in an arrogant way, but simply just have a look at what we're facing, have a look at what we've got. And they went with Onana, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Kambwala, Dalot, Casemiro, Mainoo, Garnacho, Fernandes, Rashford and Hoyland. And it's somewhat approaching a stronger side for them than they've had at various points of the season. First of all, for those who didn't hear your show, is that pretty much how you had predicted they would go? Do you think that that team should have presented any kind of a challenge to us at all? Did they actually play pretty much as you expected in that first half? And if it hadn't been for our flagrant chance missing, it would have gone pretty much exactly as you'd planned. Just talk to me a little bit about them, their setup, what you make of them, why we seem to find it so difficult to actually penetrate that last little part of their defensive wall.
I mean, to be fair, I don't think we did struggle to penetrate the defensive wall. We just didn't finish at the end of it, to be honest. You know, we had 28 shots, which is about the average for United allowing shots over the last sort of month or two. you know, we did tear them apart at times, but it was the finishing which was very, very poor from us in this occasion again. The setup, I think, was pretty much as we expected. Maybe Dallow and Wan-Bissaka opposite sides, and there was a bit of talk that one of the centre-backs, the senior centre-backs, might have returned to fitness before this match, so we weren't too sure who was going to start alongside Maguire. Obviously, Kambwala in the end. But the rest, I think, was all pretty much as expected. And yes, for sure, they set up exactly as we expected. Like, they would try and counterattack. They would use the flanks an awful lot. They did that. They had a little bit of success down there as well, you could say. But I think, by and large, while there are elements of this team which can hurt Liverpool because of the direct matchups, like we push our fullbacks high or in field, and therefore that leaves big spaces down the channels. They're really good at attacking down the channels from deep, and they have a lot of pace in wide areas regardless of who's starting. So things like that do match up well against us, and that's probably an element what plays into the Liverpool players' minds. Like, we've always got to be like slightly more cautious. We've seen sometimes we go and play against them and we sit like too far behind the ball. Not today, not in the FA Cup, but in other games we've sort of drawn 0-0 and 1-1 against them in quite infuriating circumstances. I think a part of that is the extra precaution against the counter-attack that we have against them, and the fact that it's, you know, Man United. But I think we mostly dealt well with the defence, their defence, in terms of penetrating it today. I think midfield, we kind of overran it in large parts, except for the counter-attack. We didn't really prevent that very well. It was quite obvious direct diagonal passes, getting, again, the wide players in behind our fullbacks, and they did cause us a few problems in that. But A, I would expect it. B, we should be able to absorb it. Even if they do get a couple of chances from it, we are so much better than them that we should have made our chances count for an awful lot more.
Yeah, and in fairness, the final part of the defensive wall I was talking about was how our shots weren't going in or getting blocked or whatever it happened to be. So, yeah, the build-up play was at times kind of breathtaking, impressive. It was lovely to watch, but you know, that counts for naught if you don't get the points on the board. Let's have a look, Dave, you and I, at the start of the game, because I was a little bit nervous that under Anthony Taylor this might go a little bit pear-shaped. But to be fair, after an initial period of the match, no more than 5 minutes, I think we pretty much got on top, and it just remained that way. There was a disallowed goal for them, in inverted commas, on the break after 90 seconds. Then we saw Kwanzaa have a little bit of a dodgy touch and then show great recovery against Fernandez again in that opening 90 seconds or so. On 2 minutes, Dom Szoboszlai has a shot saved. It was at the end of a really decent move and a lovely through ball by Mo Salah to him. Conor Bradley picked up a yellow on 6 minutes, and this is something I meant to talk to you about way back at the start in case we don't think of it. I fully expected Joe Gomez to come out at the start of the second half. I just thought, a little bit of what we were talking about with, you know, you described it as arrogance in the players' part. I wonder, is there a little bit of that there? Because it would seem to make sense that when there's so much pressure in that position, you're involved in so many last-ditch things. I just thought, really? When you've got Joe on the bench, we're going to roll him out for the second half as well? Mention that if you feel like it later on. We did allow them in those opening, say, 5, 6, 7 minutes to have a little bit of swagger about them. They had a couple of corners, maybe 2 or 3. But then on 10 minutes, we started to get the pattern going here. There was that, like I say, that early Dom Szoboszlai shot, but we started the pattern properly on about the 10-minute mark. A nice break down the right. Darwin crosses to Mo. It led to a corner. From that, there was another chance where Dom Szoboszlai shot just over the top when the ball broke to him. That's two shots from him in the opening 10. On 12 minutes, Darwin was played in by Szoboszlai, led to another corner from which nothing accrued. On 18 minutes, a lovely ball by McAllister to Robbo. His pullback was met by Dom Szoboszlai for his third attempt on goal. Now he's sliding and he manages to steer it off target, but it seemed to me like a better chance than it possibly was talked about at the time. And then on 20, Robbo, where he has acres to run into, for some reason pulls a sort of cross shot into nowhere land where nobody was. And I find that aspect of Robbo's game currently, and maybe for the last season or two, a little bit frustrating. But on 22 minutes, we do turn the screw enough to go ahead. It is Luis Diaz, and it is Robbo involved, to be fair, with an actual decent set piece for once. It swung in. He took the corner on the right. It was an in-swinger with his left foot. Flicked on nicely by Darwin, kind of diagonally towards goal. And Luis Diaz is there to volley into the ground and home. It's a beautifully executed goal from beginning to end. Gorgeous, and no more, I thought, than the team deserved at that point.
Oh, fully deserved to go ahead, absolutely. And it's a really good goal, because where Robbo flights the ball to Darwin, it gives Darwin a bit of space to step out from his defender, and like, he's clearly flicking it for somebody else. He's not trying to score. So it's a really good flick on from him, and it's a lovely finish by Diaz as well, because you've got the goalkeeper and bodies on the line. So you're always told, you know, put it down into the ground and let it come back up, because the spin on the ball can often beat the defender. But prior to that, my level of frustration was rising and rising, because we were just getting into really good positions and then making an absolute hames of the finish or the final ball, or the decision was off. Like, the Robbo one that you mentioned, what is he doing shooting from there? There's absolutely no excuse for Andy Roberts. Like, Andy, how many goals have you scored from there for us in your time at the club? None. So don't do it again. Like, the Szoboszlai chance, I think that's the biggest chance of the half. The third effort that he has.
Yeah.
But I also think he should leave the fucking ball, because it's the ball is not played for him. It's played for Salah. And Mo is teeing up on his left foot. Now, I don't know if Dom didn't get a shout or didn't hear the shout, but Mo was livid. If he is going to take it on, he has to at least get it on target. That's a massive chance, and we make a hames of it. The first one that he had, like, yeah, it's a decent save. Should he have worked the keeper harder? Absolutely. The second one, I think he's just unfortunately just can't get it to come down quickly enough, but we were all over them. We were creating chances left, right, and centre after probably, yeah, the 9-10 minute mark. We really did just clamp control on that game. But we just, you know, we're so wasteful once we got into good position. But what annoyed me most was how slowly we started again. Like, we highlighted it against Brighton. They score after 2 minutes. Sheffield United could easily have scored after whatever it was, 70 seconds in the game during the week. They had two big chances in that time. And again, today, we've just started really slowly. And obviously, Bruno's offside. But like, if he times that run better, potentially he still gets there and scores. Kwanzaa, like you said, had that sloppy touch. Then did really, really well to go and rectify his own error. But like, it's almost like they're coming out of the dressing room not quite ready to play. And that, to me, is a little bit concerning.
It's disappointing. But
again, that goes back to what we were doing at the start of the season as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? There seems to be an almost like a fingerprint or a footprint or whatever you want to say, that, you know, there was an iteration of Klopp's Liverpool that always started like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And we could be three goals up in 5 or 10 minutes. And
the game was over.
Yeah.
You just manage it from them. And like, the thing is, this team is capable of playing like that, because you've got so many high-intensity athletes like Dom, like Mo, like Darwin, like Diaz, like Conor Bradley, like Robbo, who should be coming out and absolutely tearing into the opposition. But we don't start like that anymore. It's almost like we need to get a big shock or a big fright. And then it's like, oh, the game's actually started now. Maybe we'll start playing. Whereas, you know, you think back the title-winning season. Even the season before that, we'd come out, we'd score within, you know, 8 minutes, we'd have two by 12 minutes, and we'd have the game wrapped up on 20. And then we're just managing our way through the game. We might get a fourth, we might ship one, but we were never likely to ship a second. And now, like, we just don't do that anymore. Now, I understand we're doing this without Alisson, who's, look, as good as Kelleher has been, it's night and day. Alisson is just a much, much better goalkeeper. He's the best goalkeeper in the world and one of the best that's ever lived. So it's not a knock on Kelleher. It's just a simple fact. Conor Bradley's really good, but Trent is the best right back in the world. And again, might be one of the best ever. he's revolutionized that position. So as good as Bradley has been, he's not Trent. And I do think there's a bit of a factor with that as well, where as good as some of the lads are playing, it does feel like they're playing a little bit above their actual capability. And maybe there's a little lack of trust from some of the senior players who don't quite have that confidence in them and aren't getting the same level of confidence from them. Whereas when it's Alisson in goal, I feel like our centre-backs play with a bit more aggression and play with a bit more like self-belief or belief in what's behind them. And again, I'm not knocking Kelleher. He's been outstanding this season. But Ali makes a huge difference. Trent makes a huge difference. So perhaps it's part of that. Perhaps we're coming out and there's players that are a little unsure of, can we really trust this guy again? Can we, you know, can we do what we want to do here, or do we need to play a little bit more conservative because we're not fully sure that we're as solid behind as we normally are?
Yeah, Ali even makes a difference, I think, defensively with those pinpoint clearances, you know, Gaelic football style at times. Carl, the rest of the half is essentially a bit of a procession with the exception of one attempt. But, and we'll start there in a second, but, you know, they hadn't registered a shot really for the entirety of this first half, and it's just all about what we do after the goal. To be fair to McAllister, I was sure Taylor was going to give him a yellow card for a foul on Fernandez, which led to a free kick, but he did escape, and you know, given our recent record, I found that surprising. Fernandez had a free which was headed back across the goal by Casemiro on 26 for their only dangerous moment really of the first half. Nobody could get there. It felt a little bit as if we were exposed. I didn't like it. Garnacho got away with a late one on Darwin on 28 minutes, could possibly have gone in the book. And on 28, again, there was a few of these. Kambuala was allowed one of these great kind of celebratory moments as he got to slide in at the death on Darwin Núñez, who was bearing down on goal. And you'd rather Darwin would have just lost the ball a second earlier to prevent that little bit of, you know, sort of rousing moment for them. On 32, Mo had a shot well saved after McAllister had played the ball to Diaz, and his ball was slightly behind Salah, who had to kind of improvise half stop. He got a decent shot away considering that led to a corner, and from that another Mo shot saved led to another corner. There's a chance in 34 minutes after a decent bit of play, some good approach work, Dom's involved, Darwin's involved, and he ends up the move shooting narrowly over the top. It's a kind of a curled effort with his instep. On 35, more great approach play by Robbo and Diaz down the left. Dominic finds Mo, and his shot is absolutely atrocious. That's the one on 35 minutes. It's a really good opportunity. On 41, a lovely break by Conor Bradley and Diaz. And Diaz's shot is blocked, which leads to a corner. Again, nothing accrues from that. 45. Darwin, Robbo, 1-2, and Darwin's shot is saved, but he was offside anyway. And then on 46, an incredible move ends with Conor Bradley's shot being blocked, which leads to a corner, which is fairly appalling from Robbo, who followed Dom by hitting the first man. Dom's previous corner had hit the first man, now Robbo hits the first man. It was a frustrating moment. And it kind of summed up the first half pretty well, I think, you know, at the death, that sort of just final ball ineptitude or finishing ineptitude. But there's no doubting, Carl, that the chances were getting racked up. The possession was off the scale. Like I say, they hadn't had a shot in anger. They had that one dangerous moment of a free kick headed back across the face of goal by Casemiro. But really, the game should have been absolutely done and dusted.
I mean, you've summed it up, Trev, haven't you? I mean, chance after chance that you've just described for us, and their best moment, their best and probably only moment of the half, is a header across the face of goal, which wasn't even a shot. I mean, the levels of dominance of this game in the first half were stupid, almost as stupid as the amount of chances that we missed. This was such a one-sided match. Like, you know, the commentators were getting very, very excited in the first, like, 40 seconds when Man United had, you know, a run down the wing and were suggesting that they could come out and go toe-to-toe and all the rest of it. And I'm not sure how long it was for McAllister to have a touch. I might have missed a couple of touches early on in the game, but I didn't see much of him for about 90 seconds. And then he just seemed to get the ball. And that was it. There was nothing else to be done. It was Liverpool's ball for the rest of the half. How we didn't capitalise on it more is just extraordinary, and I've used the word already, irritating and stupid and frustrating, and I will remain using those words because I'm still feeling all of those things about this game yet again. But the one-sidedness of it shouldn't be the case in this kind of a fixture, in this kind of a game, in this kind of a rivalry, anything like that. It just shouldn't be, but it is, and it was, and it should have resulted in a scoreline which matched that.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.